half years ago, long before this building was envisioned, but as the Rocket was being considered, the Rocket building, and asked them to support the council's policy in this area and to do everything that we could, both with PDOT and through the Design Commission, to see that from the Burnside Bridge to 12th, that these kind of buildings could be built. PDOT typically charges a small percentage, averaging about 10% of the leasable value for above-ground encroachments, mostly sky bridges, which we've done many times before. If we were to apply that same kind of charge here, it would be $2,500 a year. No true arcades, have been built in the city for at least 50 years, except for the Smart Park Garage at Southwest 10th and Morrison, which we don't charge for. So it's hard to look at a precedent setting, but no historic arcaded building in the Burnside District right now pays for encroachments. Just by way of other sort of comparative issues, PDOT right now does not charge an annual lease for encroachments underground. A lot of downtown, the building that actually go out to the edge of the sidewalk curb, and we are not transferring air rights. This is allowing an encroachment, which is when a property owner extends their use, in this case office space, into the public right-of-way. And with me, or with us, is Lance and Bill. Lance, you want to talk a little bit about why you're making this investment and what it's all about, what it means to you?
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, City Council. And thank you for the opportunity to speak about the building this morning. We have thought a lot about the direction of the Central East Side. One of my business partners and I work in the Central East Side, and we identified that lot probably 3 years ago. And prior to establishing a relationship with WPA, we never dreamed that we'd have the ability to go up some 90 feet into the air and push East Burnside forward into a direction that it's long wanted to go. East Burnside is a unique mixture of day laborers, working class people, people in the fashion industry, people in the adult industry, people in a variety of industries. We are very pleased to be surrounded by such quality people and feel that in building on a 3,800 square foot lot, along with our neighbor, the Rocket, we feel very positively about the direction of commercial infill on the east side. I'm going to turn it over to Bill right now, and he can elaborate further in detail just about the sort of inspiration for the building and where we've come from start to finish. So thank you.
Mayor, council members, I have a short presentation. I don't know if it'd be helpful to load that up. We see it as a unique opportunity to continue the character of Lower Burnside in a very modern way. We're looking to tie in with the industrial nature of the Central East Side, but also make a relationship, as was requested in the planning guidelines, with the existing arcaded buildings. Would it be helpful to just show the building quickly, or?
It's a pleasure of the council.
Go ahead. Sure. See if I can. I don't know if you want to fill in, Lance, while I find this thing.
No pressure. Take your time.
I know. This is tough.
Commissioner Leonard is a very patient person.
I'm sorry. I can't navigate this computer very well.
I was a yes vote.
I'm sorry? Oh, God. It's actually just locked up, so I may not be able to show it.
I can tell you the name of the website is www.bside6.com. That's www.bside6.com.
What I would be showing you, it's a very simple building, concrete frame.
Let's see if council has any further questions.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Questions from the commissioners?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there a sign-up sheet for either of these?
I had a sign-up sheet and no one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Thank you, folks. Both of these are not...
You can go back to your seats now.
Thank you. Both of these are non-emergencies and moves to a second reading. Please read item 1393.
Adopt changes to Title 28, Floating Structures, to improve clarity and enforceability and formally add the River Community Advisory Committee to assist in administration.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
I want to thank Commissioner Leonard, his staff, and folks at the Bureau of Development Services. A lot more people rely on floating homes for their home, and appreciate all your good work in this area. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Good work.
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. This is item 1394.
Amend code for council-initiated action to rename a city street.
I would move to table. Ordinance 1394.
Second.
Call the vote.
So next week on CommissionerSam.com, I'll be putting up a draft ordinance that would change the way that streets are renamed in the city of Portland, and it'll go through a period of public comment on the ordinance itself. Aye.
Leonard.
This will end a process that, frankly, I've had no parallel to in my public life. I've lived in Portland my whole life, since 1952, and I grew up in what was then a predominantly African-American community. And so I know firsthand and maintain to this point in my life, and I'm 55 years old, the closest friends that I grew up with in that neighborhood are still the people that are my closest friends. I am very aware of not only overt racism, but subtle racism and all of its different forms. Sometimes it's just a look. And I have been just knowing that and having that frame of reference. As a member of this community, I have been stunned at the way this debate has been framed. And not so much because of the committee that has worked on the changes. I actually, as I've said before, understand that. But the way the mayor has framed the discussion around race has been not just disappointing, but has, I think, diminished each of us. I want to remind people that Commissioner Adams and I worked very hard to try to find a reasonable, rational middle ground by proposing a resolution that would have had five prominent members of the community, including minority members, hold hearings on five streets, one of which I suggested needed to be interstate. And at the end of that hearing, I said publicly many times and in interviews with the media, if that process recommended interstate after a true, open, deliberative process, I would vote for interstate. But even that approach was met with hostility by the proponents of the change. I've had to, a number of times, ask myself, is there something here I'm not getting about myself? Am I doing something? Am I behaving in a way that I'm not aware of. And I've reminded myself that this budget year, I brought forward to council, received unanimous support to gift $100,000 to the Hispanic Alternative School in downtown Portland because we were told it was going to close without it. Probably didn't get a lot of notoriety because there was no controversy about it. And so I just think that we find ourselves in a dynamic where this has been framed in such a way as to create winners and losers. And whether that was intentional or not, I don't know. But I just have no experience to be able to explain how we could be at this place where each of us trying our best. And I have never worked with people, including Mayor Potter, who are more focused on serving the disaffected than I do here. And each of us have tried to find a middle ground, and Commissioner Saltzman, somewhat at the last minute, proposed 4th Avenue as an alternative to Interstate, and in a way to avoid what I consider to be, at best, a meltdown in this community if Interstate was named for at least a generation, I agreed to that compromise in order to try to move this community forward. That has been received with the same hostility as the committee Commissioner Adams and I proposed. So I find myself in a place today that I would have never been able to predict at the beginning of this process. It is just amazing on one hand and sad on the other. And I will be very honest and say I didn't think about the impact on the Chinese community when I accepted the compromise. And as soon as I started hearing the impact, particularly from people I know and respect, I thought, well, yeah, that's kind of how we find ourselves when we're trying on the fly to come up with a way to solve what appears to be a widening wound with some continuing to pour salt in it. We have to find a way out of this. So, yes, in somewhat desperation, I agreed to Commissioner Saltzman's noble attempt at finding a middle ground, and I appreciate it a lot. I mean, I think Dan Saltzman in this debate has done something he's not going to get a lot of credit for, and that is avoid what appeared to me to be the largest racial showdown in Portland since the summer of 1968 when I was here in Portland. For those of you who were here, remember that wasn't very pretty. This felt like it was going the same way to me. So I thank you, Dan, for your statesmanlike leadership on this issue. It was needed, and I think it solved and avoided a lot of future problems that I'm convinced were going to happen. So, you know, Dan has apparently gotten to the same place. We haven't talked about this that I have, that it just doesn't make sense to try to go forward with an attempt to heal the community that continues to divide the community, including the people that proposed honoring Cesar Chavez, who appear to be even hostile to this. So I see no good reason to put the community through any more of what has turned out to be a dysfunctional debate. I mean, I don't always feel like that. I think good discussion is always healthy, but this is not a good discussion, and it needs to stop. Aye.
Saltzman?
So in voting against the previous ordinance to rename Interstate Boulevard Cesar East Chavez Boulevard, and in voting to table this ordinance, which established a new, arguably more legal way for city council to initiate street names, I'm voting against this too. And I will be offering, after this vote, a motion to reconsider the resolution four of us passed last week to rename Southwest 4th as Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. In all of that, I'm voting this way, but I'm doing it without prejudice. You know, if somebody wants to work through the existing process and come back with either one of those streets or any other street, or somebody wants to work through a new ordinance process or a charter amendment process Commissioner Leonard spoke about last week that could be voted on in May that would really, you know, deal with street renamings in a more contemporary and updated manner than what currently exists in our code after all these things are dismissed, you know, I'm open to that. So, as I said, I am going to vote to table this. I think this process, and you know, frankly, I think a lot of us in this room, you know, I'm speaking for myself, you know, we're tired of this, and I certainly don't want to be looking at a name change anytime soon. So there needs to be some healing, and we can't risk having, you know, open race wars going on in this city being played out over things like immigration policy, which, you know, dress it up any way you want. Street renaming gets on a ballot, and it's a vote on immigration policy. It's not a vote on a street rename. So, as I said, I'm dismissing without prejudice any of these names, name changes, but there needs to be a better way to go about doing it. So I vote aye.
Stan.
Well, I do agree it's time we should take fourth off the table and take a step back and try and figure things out. I have worked probably as hard as I have and not had any success on anything in my career in terms of trying to meet with the different sides. I believe today, as I believed 30 days ago when I met with the steering committee, that if there was a little give-on process, we could have got to an affirmative vote on interstate or another street. And I think that in part because the council decided to not think enough about the resolution we passed that outlined a six-week process, and I've apologized for that. We got to a six-week process that, whether it was tactical or truly what people thought, that the Chavez Committee would not give any room at all to try and extend that process. And since they would not support that and the mayor would not support that, I decided not to force another process, which I could have done with a couple of colleagues, but I just thought forcing another process extends this piece. As I saw it falling apart, which it was, and I think there's blame to be laid all around on that, I thought that maybe Fourth Avenue could be another idea. I want to be honest with the Chinese community, and my friend, one of your elders, and I have been exchanging emails. She's very good on the computer this weekend, and I honestly said I don't and still don't believe that it's an insult to the Chinese community to have another race's name go on Fourth Avenue. But I think doing it that fast without more work is clearly not acceptable. I also think it wouldn't be necessarily an insult to the Latino community to say, what about Southwest Fourth? So you have PSU and City Hall and all the other places, and maybe not bring it in Northwest. Those are all the ideas I think we should talk about. But, you know, unfortunately, I think all of the sides have taken a position that if you move at all off of what the strategy is, you're being disrespectful. And I think that's got us to a point where we can't seem to work this out. And I remain interested in naming a major street after Cesar Chavez. I voted this morning to do interstate because I think that it would be better than not doing anything, but not by much at this point, to be honest. And so my hope would be that we could, you know, at some point in the future, name a street and do it in the way that it ought to be done, whatever that is. I've given my best effort to try and create that way. I told people in August in good conscience that I was supportive of interstate, in good conscience voted for the resolution, and I think in equally good conscience told you that when it all blew up, we needed to take more time. And that was rejected by the Chavez committee, and I think he made a mistake on that. But I also respected that mistake, and then voted for it, and also tried to come up with another idea. So I think what I'm trying to get at is not to show, you know, my own failings four or five times over in this, but to point out that I think everybody has tried to get somewhere, and I think our failing of not getting there is not one of bad faith. It's not one of racism, although I do, every time I talk about this, feel it's important to note that part of why I think this got so bad is there were very racist things said and done. The types of things that were said and done on my voicemail, on my email, in the community meetings were atrocious and worse than anything I've seen in 11 years serving on the city council. And I suspect they pale in comparison to what was said to some of the organizers privately. And that's why I think we got to a point where people just could not take a breath and figure out our way through it. And so I think that racist backdrop was not everybody. I said last week that I believe that there was a very solid reason that was not racist that many North Portland residents opposed this, and that was because there's been too much change in their neighborhood, much of it city initiated. And I think the city council should have thought that through more clearly when we sent a signal that we'd be okay with this on the front end and initiated a way too short six-week process. So I think there's blame to go around, and I'm not even trying to sign any of it. And my hope is that it may be in a new year, which comes in 6 weeks, we can find a new way and give the respect and honoring that the Latino community has sought for through some way. I remain interested in working on that, although I am happy to take a breath, and I am happy to withdraw Fourth Avenue, which I helped put forward. So it was a well-meaning idea, but not a good one. So I vote aye to table the resolution and move forward.
Excuse me, folks. Folks, wave the hands.
Potter.
You know, I think there's something going on in our community that's pretty phenomenal. And I'm talking about our changing demographics. I think it's the equivalent of a tectonic shift in the plates that underlie Portland. And over the next 20 to 30 years, it's going to be one of the major influences, both on policies as well as where the city of Portland goes from here. Race is an everyday fact that everybody lives with, particularly people of color. But the rest of us live with it too, because we have to watch what happens when they go in and they take several hundred people out of the Del Monte building, and some of them are now in Mexico. We have to watch those men standing on northeast Portland looking for jobs in the rain, and the proposal to build a shelter so that at least they could get out of the rain has met with extreme criticism from across our community. Every single day, there are events that happen that are based on race. And I think when you look around this country and you see what is going on around street renaming, you will see that race is a factor, that race does play a part in how these things occur. I was here in 1968, the Commissioner Leonard mentioned, when we had what were then called race riots. I was a police officer. I saw it not only as a police officer looking out at people who were extremely angry, but I also saw what was going on that caused some of that anger to begin with. And race played a part in that. I don't use the word racism. I think it conjures up too many strong images. But when we talk about what we need to do as a community, I think we do need to heal. But part of the healing has to be able to bring up things that are uncomfortable, such as race, so that we can continue the discussion in perhaps circumstances that don't evoke such strong passion and feeling, but create a framework for a better understanding of each other and the different cultures that we live in. This week, I met with some of the folks from North Portland, some of the neighborhood people that were directly involved in opposing Interstate Avenue. I told them, we need to heal, we need to come together, we need to talk about this in a way that's not threatening, and that we, being the larger community, the folks that live along Interstate, and certainly the Latino community, is that I believe that this has caused a division in our community. But I truly believe that if we come together and talk about it, we can grow from this. Our city can be a better place as a result of this. But I ask all of you to stay engaged, and because this is off the table, don't think that the subject about race is off the table as well. So we do need to talk about it. We do need to ensure that we understand each other, that we understand each other's culture, and that we understand that we're Portlanders. Now, I love Portland. I love the people here. But it doesn't make all of us perfect, including the five members up on this podium. I think that we need to have a better sense of who we are as a community and the changes that are coming that will change dramatically how this city functions and operates. I think it's good that tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I think it's important that we can sit back and remember all those good things that we as a community have. But the next day, I think we need to start thinking about how we can bring about some change and some better understanding on everybody's part, and how race impacts a community as the demographics change, as we have more ethnicity in our city. It will profoundly affect all of us. And I would hope that all of us in all of our communities come together to discuss this really important issue. I vote
Aye.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to make a motion to reconsider Resolution 36552 that we passed last week in support of renaming Southwest 4th or 4th Avenue Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard.
Second.
Second?
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Let me just check. Are we voting to reconsider?
Yes. And then we have to have a vote on that.
Yeah. Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
So now I guess I would...
We just go right to the vote.
Okay. Yeah. I would move that we vote again on Resolution 36552.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
No.
Leonard?
Well, I agree with everything Mayor Potter said, and I don't have a disagreement about that. But again, those discussions, it is important to have in an atmosphere of respect, mutual respect, both ways. And I really appreciate his remarks and am committed to the day after Thanksgiving, begin that conversation and collaboration with the mayor and the community. But it needs to be done from the point of view where everybody is respectful to each other. And I'm a person that believes very strongly in that. And I agree that we need to have that conversation in the community, and I appreciate the mayor and his approach in wanting to do that and want to join him to make that happen. No.
Saltzman?
No.
Sten?
No.
Potter?
It is nice being in the majority this time. No. We are adjourned.
No, we have one more.
No, we're not.
One more.
Excuse me. Emergency ordinance.
Item 1395, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with the State of Oregon Department of Corrections to provide work crews to Portland Parks and Recreation through the Inmate Work Program.
Let me let him clear out a minute.
We'll let folks, if you could have your conversations outside, please. Thank you.
Prison work crew.
Yes. How are you? Okay, folks, if you could please go outside to continue your conversations. We have a little bit more business to do. Did you read item 1395?
1395. Authorize intergovernmental agreement with the State of Oregon Department of Corrections to provide work crews to Portland Parks and Recreation through the Inmate Work Program.
Commissioner Saltzman?
Yes, we had our we had a hearing on this last week. This is an ordinance that allows the Parks Bureau to contract with work crews from the Oregon Department of Corrections to perform various functions, and there were some concerns raised. We set it over a week, and I think I'll turn to Eileen and Richard to update us on where things stand.
Morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Eileen Argentina with Portland Parks and Recreation, and since your action last week asking us to consult with the 483 further, we've had a number of opportunities to communicate about this. I think we were able to address the concerns, and as part of that discussion came to the conclusion that it would be helpful to write some things down. So I think the content was largely agreed to last week, but the format has been under development up until about a half hour ago, I think. But we're there now, and I think it's been a helpful dialogue. I think the others may have some things to add.
Yes, Mayor, Council. I agreed to sit down with Parks and talk about some of my anxieties and fears, as I identified last week with you folks. Well, I had that discussion, and some of the concerns that I had was, of course, with public and membership safety in the parks, working with this work group. I also am concerned about the erosion of my members' pay scales due to the fact that the work they're doing is in my members' job description. I'm always concerned whenever Parks is using any kind of alternative labor to my members' work, of course. But in spite of these concerns, I agreed to put these fears aside if Parks would define a scope of work and hold this workforce to it. The last thing I wanted to see happen was to hand the Parks a blank check to use with this workforce however they wanted. If you read the proposed contract, that is exactly what the Parks was going to get, a super cheap workforce without any restrictions on the scope of work, no job description or any other limit. Parks could define these projects to meet whatever needs they perceive. What I requested and what I defined was my main concern, where I had concerns about these other issues, my main concern was the scope of work and to have some kind of limitation to that scope that I could hold Parks to. I had a discussion with Lisa Turpel. She understood that concern, and we sat down and worked out a what we felt was a workable agreement with each other that addressed it. You have that agreement in front of you. Now, it's still a work in progress in the sense that in order to become a full-blown LOA, a letter of agreement, it would have to have Yvonne Decker's name on it as well. And I was educated to that by Steve Herron today. I had a discussion with him on the phone. And that was really the holdup of this process, because that takes time to go through the city's legal department and to have Yvonne finally sign it. So that's fine. I'm patient. I don't want to push this process and do it any quicker than it needs to be done. I want it to be timely, of course. But this is as far as we've gotten with our discussion. It's been very successful. Now, we've come to this agreement fairly seamlessly, and we've done it with a lot of respect and a lot of understanding and a lot of sensitivities to each other's positions and each other's concerns. Now, this was possible in the Parks, even though the Parks was under a tremendous workload, because they had a budget process going on. And we did this in a very expedited process because of the atmosphere of collaboration and cooperation that exists in the Parks due to the fact that we have a successful labor management process. Now, this labor management process has created an atmosphere that goes way beyond just labor management issues, as you can see. It also helps us with our other relationships. And I think this has made this possible. And for that, I would like to thank the council, first of all, for allowing us an additional week to address this concern. But I'd like to particularly thank Dan Salzman for sponsoring the LMC process that has made the atmosphere possible. And I'd also like to give credit to Lisa Turpel and Zeri Santner for the tremendous amount of work they have done to create a successful LMC process for us. So I'm very satisfied with the process as it's gone along so far, and I want to thank the council for their patience.
My name is James Hester. I'm president of the District Council of Trade Unions, which represents 1,800 city workers in the city of Portland. And I'm here today to speak in support of this action on behalf of the DCTU. And before I kind of just get into a couple caveats and concerns that the DCTU representatives discussed as Richard brought this to us, I want to thank Commissioner Salzman for his leadership in this matter, and also Brother Beadle's leadership, and also the leadership of the Parks Bureau. And I also want to thank the council for deferring this for a week so we could have some extra discussion on the matter. The Brother Beadle brought this to the entire DCTU because he wanted some input on the direction, because there was some potential long-term impacts to the DCTU membership. And one of the things that we discussed was that this is a perfect example, given hopefully enough time, that these types of issues can be referred to a labor management committee in within the bureaus. We've put a big emphasis on that the last couple, 3 years. This is a great, great issue that everyone could be around the table discussing and working out the issues and coming to agreement before we get to council. So I would encourage future programs such as these to go through that process. I think it would be great, and as does the DCTU. The other issue that we discuss is that the unions, city unions as a whole, support programs such as these, especially if they provide an opportunity for rehabilitation. I think that's a key component for people that have been incarcerated. And as As I was briefed, it seems like this is being more designed as a cost-saving measure for the city, and I get that. We're all cognizant these days of our budgets. But I think in light of the spirit of cooperation that we should be looking at in terms of a rehabilitation program and working in partnership with the Department of Corrections, even my brother and sister unions in the Department of Corrections throughout the state, which are AFSCME-represented positions. I would encourage the formalizing of an official labor letter of agreement. I think that gives the parameters for everybody to understand on how it's going to be, how this program is going to roll out and what the expectations are. But I think the biggest concern that we had as we met and discussed this issue was the repeated concern we all have about the dilution of the bargaining unit over the past few years and our bargaining unit work. I mean, above and all, every day we wake up and that's what we're here for. That's what why we get paid the dollars we do, is to protect our members' rights and to protect their work. I've been before council before, and I've said it in LMC meetings before, where over the past few years, there's been either in all the city unions, even the membership has been stagnant and or it's decreased over the past 10 years, where non-represented positions have been on the rise, significant rise, and we do need to address that. A lot of those positions have been redefined from bargaining unit jobs and positions to non-represented jobs. And so we need to take that into consideration because we want to be able to support programs like this in the future, but we also need to make sure that our members' jobs are protected also. So with that said, and I may be a little bit out of line here, but I would be remiss as a union leader not to give great thanks to Mayor Potter, all the city council, especially the leadership of the Latino community and the Asian American community and other community activists and leaders out there in addressing the street naming issue. I think it's a very important issue. Mayor Potter, I appreciate your words. Behind my desk is a large painting of Cesar Chavez. He was a great man, great labor leader, and I'm hoping and looking forward to some resolution in the future on this. So I appreciate your work on this. Thank you.
Thanks, folks. Any questions? Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Okay. It's an emergency vote. Please call the vote. Thank you, folks, very much.
Thank you very much.
Adams?
Well, Buzz and James, I want to thank you for your advocacy on this issue, especially Buzz. And Eileen and Parks Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman, thanks for working to provide additional clarity and resolution. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, I'm really impressed with the I expect Buzz to do what he's doing. He advocates for his members. That's his job. But what I really appreciated here is the reaction of the Parks Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman's office to acknowledge his legitimate concerns and to sit down and draft this agreement. I'm really appreciative of that. It's heartening to hear the labor management system has been established and is working as well as it is in Parks. It just is really helps me have more confidence in the Parks, and it's something I've been struggling with, and this is a big step in helping me get there. But I also want to thank James' comments about Cesar Chavez in terms of being a labor leader. The part that has been so hard for me in this debate is that for those of us from the labor movement who grew up there and believe in it, is he is a hero to labor leaders and has been and right along, and as a great American labor leader. So that was really on point, and I appreciate that. James, aye.
Well, I want to thank both Eileen and Richard for working out this memorandum of understanding. Appreciate the kind remarks about the Parks Bureau's labor management cooperation process. So we will continue to make sure those things function well. So this was a good outcome. Aye.
Ben. Happy Thanksgiving. Aye.
Potter.
I heard that.
Don't start. I'll go with you.
We might start just for
that. Potter.
Excuse me. I wanted to thank the Parks Bureau for their efforts and the two unions involved. I think this is an excellent understanding, and I think that the use of these folks will be able to make our city better and perhaps
even help towards some of these folks gaining a better understanding of the importance of parks and cities. So I vote aye. We are now adjourned.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Wow.